I want to put an emphasis on that word love. So the subtopic would be more than words. Everybody say more than words. You see, we've been called to live, and we are living as Christians, Christ-like, beyond the world standard. We should be living beyond the world standard. But we live in a world that's shaped by words. If you don't believe it, watch television. Watch some of the newscasts. We're living in that world shaped by words, and words of struggle, words of ambition, and words of limitation. Words. I was thinking about a song that Dolly Parton wrote that talked about working from 9 to 5. I don't think anybody works from 9 to 5 anymore. It's a lot longer than that for some people. But the song clearly states something that really nudged me this week. In the phrase that says, barely getting by, it's taken, it's all taken and no giving. It's all taken and no giving. For many, this isn't just a song lyric, it is their daily reality. It's what they're living in. So herein lies our dilemma, church. It's a life consumed by taking more than giving, by striving rather than serving. Striving rather than serving. That's our life. That's what we've become accustomed to, but it's not what we're called to. Did you hear me? We may become accustomed to it, but it's not what we're called to. This is our dilemma. In other words, if you have a garden, I don't know if anybody's ever planted a garden that had vegetables in it. If you take more from that garden than you give back, your garden will diminish because you're going to have to work that garden. You're going to have to weed that garden. You're going to have to hoe that garden. You're going to have to plant that garden with seed. And if you take out more than you put in, it's just going to go away. It's going to die. Here's something that you all are familiar with. If you have a savings account and you take out more money out of that savings account than you put in, you're going to be surprised one day. You're going to find out you have no savings account. That's just the way it works. See, that baby even knows that. You have to put it in. So it's like, I mean, you go to you eat popcorn out of a thing at your house and you keep eating the popcorn. If you don't keep putting popcorn back in it, you're not going to have any to go to eat. Amen. And that's our life. We have to learn to give in order to get something, to be a part of something. As Christians, we're called to a higher standard. We are not defined by the words of the world. I refuse to be defined by the words of the world. I don't need to define my qualification, nor substantiation, nor verification. I don't need that. All I need to hear is from the Father saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I need. So I'm not defined by the words of the world, but by the word of God. Here we are, more than words. We're defined by the word of God, the very word that in the beginning he created us all. That's the way it was by his word we were created. So we're not called just to speak faith. We are not called just to speak faith. We are called to live it out through action. We're called to live it out through action. In other words, we live what we believe and not just talk about it. Amen. That's the problem we have in the world today, even with our political system. Everybody says something but does something else. It's time for action. How many people know when you get into a situation where you start moving with action, you're going to make some enemies? But still, right is right and wrong is wrong, and you have to keep pressing forward. So we being defined by I don't care what your husband has said, your wife has said, or your children have said, or your in-laws and outlaws have said. You're not defined by them. We're defined by the Word of God. But let's look at how God's Word has defined us. Let's look how it has shaped us. Let's see how it shaped our, or defines our destiny. How does it define our purpose? How does it define our worth? This is important to us all. You'll find this in Psalms 91, verse 14 through 16, that God promises, everybody say His promises. God promises deliverance and satisfaction and completion to those who love Him. Psalms 91, verse 14, because He has set His love upon me. Now understand, it's the Spirit of the Lord speaking through the psalmist, speaking about man. Because He has set His love upon me, God, therefore will I deliver him. Does anybody need deliverance today? We all do. But therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. God will do this. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Next verse, 15. He shall call upon me and I'm going to answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. Any of y'all been in trouble lately? I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. Next verse. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We will see the salvation of the Lord. And that encompasses a lot of things. But then I find in Proverbs 8:17, I love them. This is God speaking again. I love them that love me. Which, if you go to James, you'll find out. He says, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to them. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So I started thinking about that this morning. God, what does that? I know what people say, but what was the real meaning there? We should start seeking God before the hardship. We should seek God before the hardship, before that hardship forces you to do so. In other words, don't run to church just every time you get in trouble, and then for 6 or 7 months you stay away from the house of the Lord. Now that might hurt, but that's fact. That's what I see happening in the church today. We run to it when we need it, and we run away from it when we've got everything we need. So I'm not going to let hardship define that. It's about developing a relationship with the living God out of love and out of devotion rather than just desperation. Now hear that. Out of love and devotion instead of desperation. That's the way we need to go to God. That's the way we need to hear from the Lord. I'm going to seek Him early. That means before any, even in my youth, I sought Him. And sometimes I didn't follow the way He wanted me to follow, but believe me, God has a way of corralling you and bringing you right back to where you need to be. So what does He call me to do? Jesus calls us to love beyond boundaries. More than words. He's called us to love beyond boundaries. We want to set boundaries and parameters. And we want to say and define who we can love and who we should love and not love. But let's look at the Word here for a moment. God says you have to love without boundaries, even your enemies. Amen. Matthew 5:43, you have heard the law that says, in the New Living Translation, you've heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, this is Jesus, but I say you love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Now that's difficult. He said, in that way, you will be acting as true children of the Father, your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good. And He sends rain upon the just and the unjust alike. So if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors. Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect. You must be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. More than words. Amen. So what is love? Love is the evidence that we are Christ's disciples. See, it's easy to say, I'm Christian, but that's really not where we are. We should be Christ's disciples. Amen. We're disciples of Christ. And love is that evidence. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for the other. It's evidence. And he says in John 15, 13, a verse that we've used quite a bit, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Lay down your life. So because of love, when you understand how important it really is, because of love, we have a future in Jesus Christ. Amen. Beyond human imagination. Proof for that is in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. It's out of this world. So we have something that I've ministered on several times. We have something called love, and it's not just love in words, it's love in action. It's love at work. It's love doing what God wants to be done. So we have a divine mandate. That means God has said it. A divine mandate from God to love. And it's not just a feeling. I don't feel it. It goes beyond feeling. Your mothers that get up at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning to feed a hungry baby, you don't get up because you feel like it. You get up because you love that child. When you come into your house, you love your family. You do things that a single person may come in and say, I don't need to do that. But you do that because of the love of family. Am I right? Love of family. So it's a love in action. But true love is demonstrated in how we serve, number one, how we forgive, and how we care for others. That's true love. Now, from God's perspective and God's thinking, life is not about taking more and giving less. What do you mean by that? It's about pouring ourselves out in love and service and sacrifice so that He can fill us. Now, watch this. So He can fill us with more of His grace and power. What do you mean? So as you pour out, God, in turn, starts pouring into you. And your little vessel, understand, you're pouring out small amounts. God's pouring out large amounts. And it's running over. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, the Bible says. So you have to pour out in order for Him to pour in. That's why it's so important to do what He asks you to do about love. Love when you don't even feel like it. Love when you don't think anybody cares. It's about showing that you are more like God than man. Amen. Pouring ourselves out. Now let's look through the lens of God's Word and see, and you will see, if we look through the lens of God's Word, love is more than an emotion. But it is the foundation which the world was created. Love created everything. So I'm going to give you a few points. Love is a force that is so powerful that even death has to bow to it. Love passes the grave. Death cannot conquer love. If you really love something, nothing changes that. A person can be dead for 20 years and you love them, you still love them. My dad and mom's been gone now for quite a few years. I know your dad celebrated a birthday this week, Damon Christian. You understand you still love him as if it was yesterday. Because love never fails. Love never gets tired. Love never gets weary. Love is never diminished. And I'm talking now about real love, not just a man or a woman saying to their partner, I love you. That means nothing unless action backs it up. Amen. I know spousal abuse where people say they love you and they're still beaten. I was going to say, I'll let Dr. Carter say it. But they're beating you and they're saying, but I love you. That's not love in action. So death has to bow to this thing we call love. Why? Because we are made from love. We're created in love and called in love in this life. We're called in love and we're called to live it out. We're called to live in love. Turn to somebody and say, live in love. So the body of Christ. Does anybody know who the body of Christ is? Huh? It's you. Say, it's me. The body of Christ must move beyond then certain things that I think that's held us back, like judgment. We want to judge. We want to judge because we think we're the judge and we're not. We're not the judge and the jury. We're just sitting in the grandstands. Amen. We're spectators. It's God that is the judge. So we have to move beyond judgment and scrutiny into the passionate love of Jesus Christ. So can you even imagine him hanging on the cross if he wanted to judge? Could you even imagine that? What if he had taken the position of judge at that moment? The whole world would have been gone. But he loved. He loved. The cross is a symbol of love and dedication and service and sacrifice. It's a love so deep that we give ourselves so others have the opportunity to live. That's love. So more than words, what is the evidence of real love? What is the evidence? If you're looking for, and you're in a trial, they want evidence. Real love connects and brings God into every action. It doesn't take apart. It doesn't disassemble. Love connects and brings God into every action. What do you mean it brings God into every action? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. So when you act in love, what happens? You bring God into that situation. You bring him into that circumstance. You're bringing God into everything you do. When you step outside of love, you're stepping away from God. That's why it's imperative that you love. Now, that doesn't mean you let somebody abuse you. So, well, I love them so they can abuse me. No, that's just being stupid. You love them and you forgive them and you move on. Are you with me now? You learn to move on. So love connects. I said this just a moment ago, and real love is dying to self so someone else can live. Someone else has that opportunity. Real love is giving without expecting anything in return. That means if you give a gift thinking somebody else is going to give you something, it's not a real gift. Amen. You're doing a trade. I'm not saying it's bad to give each other gifts. I'm just saying if you give it thinking, well, I'll give Dr. Carrier something because I know he'll give me something probably even better. No, it don't work that way because Doc ain't going to do that. I'm just kidding. You understand what I'm saying. You don't give somebody something. Here's another one. If you're going to give something, if somebody asks you to borrow money and if you don't have it, of course, you can't do it. But it's better, my daddy's philosophy, I'd rather give it to you than borrow and allow you to borrow it. Because if I don't, if you borrow it from me, then I expect a return. But if I give it to you, I don't expect a return. Because of that, family members have separated. Loved ones have been separated. Friends have been separated. Because they don't follow the principle. You love enough to give, Courtney. So give me something, Courtney. No. So I'm going to give without expecting any kind of return. Real love, genuine love, is walking the extra mile. You will go as far as you can go, even when you feel like you can't go any further. I've heard people say, I can't go any further. But you can. You take a deep breath and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to do this because I love. And I'm going to go that extra mile. Has anybody ever gone an extra mile for somebody? Did they deserve it? Probably not. But you did it anyway because you love. And real love is fighting someone else's battle. You fight their battle even when fear grips your very heart. Man, if you watch the animal kingdom, you'll see how they fight fiercely for their cubs or their pups or whatever. Fight fiercely even in the face of they themselves could be destroyed. That's love. Real love is rescuing another even at the risk of your own life. You rescue them. You save them. Remember, this is the month of love. Real love believes in someone when unbelief seems to be the only option. The only option I have is not to believe, but I still believe in you. Real love is seeing through another's eyes and walking in their shoes without judgment. That's real love. Real love takes the blow meant for someone else. And there again, I saw that demonstrated in the animal kingdom. I saw on a reel where a Labrador puppy, had chewed up a man's electronic device. And so the man takes his shoe, and they're filming this, and he's reprimanding the puppy. The mom is sitting there, stoic. The puppy's right here. And as he picks up that shoe, the mom Labrador takes her paw and pulls the puppy into herself. She doesn't even look at the owner. She glances at him like this, but what she's saying is, I'll take the hit. My baby's not going to get it. Can you see how God does us? We chew up things we shouldn't chew up. We say things we shouldn't say. We do stupid things, ignorant. You know we do. And what does God do? The enemy comes in, the enemy of our soul, and he comes in and he's going to smack us. He's going to just try to destroy us. And God says, wait a minute. And he pulls us to himself. Now, that may not move you, but that moves me. Because I know how many times, Doc, I needed him to do that. I needed him to pull me in. Now, notice, the puppy did not lean into the mother. The mother pull the puppy in. That's real love. That's dedication. That's loyalty. And that's what God does for us. It's more than words. God didn't just say, I love you. He proves it. He does it. Even when we didn't deserve it, he still loves. How many people believe that? He said, well, you know what, Bishop, I've been good all my life. No, you haven't. Well, but you don't understand, I've been pretty good. And you know what? The more good I do, bad things are happening to me. Bad things are happening to me. Why me? Why not you? And so the Lord, I said that to the Lord this morning. He said, yeah, but the difference is when bad things happen to good people, I'll make a way of escape. Did y'all hear that? That's what the Lord said into my spirit this morning. He said, the difference is, I will make a way of escape. Brother Perez, that's just the way it is. He'll make a way of escape. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. You'll say, there's no way this can happen. No way at all. And what does God do? He shows you that there's another portal. There's another door. There's another way. I can't tell you the times in my life I've had people say it won't happen. That ain't gonna happen. And God turns around and says, let me show you something. I'm going to show you how this works. I've prayed for people before and them saying, well, it's not going to do any good. But in my spirit, I knew that it would. Why? Because God says, I will make a way of escape. That word was for me today. Because I heard somebody say, why, I'm a good person and bad things happen to me. He says, because I'm with you and I'll bring you through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. And he carries the biggest stick in the valley. That's just fact. That's just the way I see it. Call me stupid, but I just believe in God. My daddy used to sing a song, I trust in God, I know he'll never fail. Through mountain peaks or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, doesn't matter. He secures my very spirit, my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. And real love, this is one that some of you might realize and have lived it. Real love covers the multitude of sin. That's for 1 Peter 4:8. You realize that real love will cover. When somebody comes against somebody else and you know maybe they've done wrong, you still cover them and you try to protect them. We are called. I'm not going to take a long time here. I'm giving you the points so you can start thinking about how your life should be molded by the Word of God. We are called to be light. And light changes things. More than words, we're called to be light. In our love, we are a light. And that light in the darkness exposes things. Let me say that. Love will expose things. It will. Scripture reminds us that we're more than just words in that we are living testimonies of God's love. We're living it out. We're a living epistle, the Bible says in the New Testament. Living epistles. So, the Bible says in Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine. If you're the light of the world, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we're called to let the love shine. Yes. Called to be light. What does that mean? A guiding example of love that leads others out of despair and into abundant life in Christ. Leads them out and leads them in. Takes them out and leads them in. The Bible says, and speaking about love in the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I could speak with the language of heaven, and I've observed this in my life, people that could really speak, they're silver-tongued devils. If I could speak in every language of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making a noise. I've been in services before where people amen and shout and jump up and down and go outside and tear somebody to pieces. I mean, in this church, I left here one day preaching, and I mean, it was a great service, and people were in the altar. And I pulled out, and I came out around a different way. And as I'm pulling out, one of our preachers thought I cut them off in the parking lot. Me. And everything that's here is because of me. Y'all have to understand that. I had no board to help me. And I'm pulling out, and they shaking their fist at me. I'm thinking, y'all, you've lost your mind. I just prayed for you. That really happened. I had it happen at Chick-fil-A. My son decided he wanted something after high school. We pulled through Chick-fil-A, and I pulled up, and this guy thought he was coming in this way. I was coming this way, and I just moved in as the circle was going around, and he come after me. He rolled his window down, and boy, he was coming after me. What are you thinking? And he looked at me, and he said, Pastor, thou shalt die and not live. That really happened to me. He don't come here anymore. He had some choice words. Before he saw who I was, my window went down. Be careful who you curse. It might be somebody you don't need to be cursing. Matter of fact, you don't need to be cursing anybody. Because it'll come back to bite you. So what is it like not living what God's asked us to do? I say it's a life filled with empty words. It's just empty. A life filled with empty words is like a well without water. It appears to be full, but offering nothing of real substance. Words without truth and action or meaning may echo for a moment. Did you hear that? May echo for a moment, but they fade without impact, leaving behind only silence where purpose should have been. It's just silence. Here's the final thought. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll give you two more final thoughts. I said love is proof. We are God's proof of love. In the court, in heaven, before all the heavenly angels and all the courts of heaven, we are God's proof of love. And we must be then, in fact, be living evidence that his love works. You have to be living evidence that God's love works. So today, everybody say today. Today we must decide to move beyond just speaking about love and step into demonstrating it. How? Through every action, through every sacrifice, and every moment of our lives. So when I said more than words, we are love. We are love, born in love, raised in love, sacrificial lamb was given for us for love. More than words, we're love in action. Love with purpose. Love with completion. Love that doesn't settle. A love that wants to see you get healed. That's the way it works. You have to really love that somebody else is going to be well. Somebody else is going to be whole. Somebody else is going to make some money. Have you ever been happy for somebody else when they won something? Yes. That's important. Because you'll never win yourself until you get happy for somebody else's win. Yes. Somebody gets healed and you say, well, I can't believe they got healed because I'm a better Christian than them. You just found out why you weren't healed. You just found out. You have to say, thank you, God, for healing Dr. Collier. Thank you, God, for healing Steve. Thank you, God, for healing Courtney. Thank you, God. God, I just want to praise you. I feel like shouting today that God healed Ricky Fox. I'm just praising you, God. I thank you, Lord, for touching Christian over there. I thank you, God. I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. And then God steps in and says, you know what? Because you've shown mercy and you've shown love, I'm going to give you mercy and love in double portion. As you pour out, I'll pour in. As you give out, I'll give in. My Lord, do you see the opportunity we have today?